Yeah, it's wonderful again for us to engage ourselves, to reflect over the Word of God, and to see what God has prepared for us today. I would like us to understand that God has got a purpose for each one of us in our lives. He desires that we be sons and daughters unto Him. Praise the Lord. How many are happy to be children of God? You are glad that you are a child of God. It's good to be a child, isn't it? Just wake up, you eat and go to work and expect to eat when you come back, isn't it? You don't care what, it doesn't trouble you where the food comes from. What you know, Mama must prepare something for you, isn't it? Yes. I was reflecting over the issue of the shepherd with the somebody, and it was interesting also just to look back. We always, Brother Georgie has just been talking to us Psalms 23, which tells us that he's our shepherd, we shall not want. Our shepherd, and we shall not want. So what happens to the sheep? What happens to the animals? Especially in the traditional sense, where a shepherd has got to take them out for feeding. Normally, is the shepherd to look for a place, a suitable place, where we have green pasture? The sheep will be sleeping. And then he will open the gate and drive them to that field. True or false? Some of you don't, you just like the one of all of the above. Praise the Lord. When we were learning, there used to be multiple choices, and then there was none of the above and all of the above. So if you are not sure of anything, just say all of the above, hoping that they will see the answer in it until give you a half. Unfortunately, MCQs, you are either right or wrong. So that's the problem. So a shepherd just takes the sheep out and he looks for a place to feed them. When he feels now he has to take them, a place to take water, and then he takes them to the still waters, and they take the water, and then he will drive them back home. Praise the Lord. That is why I'm saying it is good to be a child, because you're like a sheep. You don't have to bother where you will get the food from. It is the duty of the shepherd to decide and determine where he's going to take you. Praise the Lord. But you must be walking within that flock. You must be walking within the flock of the shepherd. If you stray off, you may end up not benefiting from the good pasture that has been prepared for you. So this morning, I would like us just to remind ourselves of the need to have a closer walk with Him. So the subject of our topic today is a closer walk with Him. A closer walk with Him. Praise the Lord. Now we are going to refer to a very, very common passage, but we'd like to see, as I was reflecting over this passage, I realized there were three important things that were being communicated that we need to reflect over again. Luke 19, verse 1 to 4. Then we'll have Luke 19, verse 6. And then the third part will be Luke 19, 7 to 10. The Bible says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree, fig tree, to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, Brother Welling is very notorious. Whenever he's arranging us to take photos, he deliberately assaults some of us. He always says, those who are vertically challenged, stand forward. If you're vertically challenged, you're not like Brother Nevi. You stand forward. So you belong to the lineage of Zacchaeus. You must trace your lineage back to Zacchaeus. He was vertically challenged. And he understood that very well. But God had blessed him in other aspects. He was wealthy. And he had a very good position. He was in charge of the revenue authority in the country at that time. These days, every country has got a revenue authority. It's a story again to discuss later, why everybody must have a revenue authority. Why everybody must have an organization dealing with corruption. It's something that you must also try to interrogate and see, why are they forcing everybody to have this? But let us not go there now. Now, this man was heading the revenue authority. So he was a very important person in the country. He was a very important person. But he decided to do something that was very, very odd. Because if you find the commissioner general of a revenue authority climbing a tree, you will begin to question. Because he's collecting taxes. The Bible says he's rich. You would expect him either to buy a ladder and stand in an elevated position, but he decides to climb a tree. Brethren, the first thing I want us to look at is the aspect of Zacchaeus climbing the tree. And the reason the Bible gives us is that because he wanted to see Jesus. Why? Because Zacchaeus understood that Jesus was a unique person. He was transforming lives. He was changing the destinies of people. There was a shift in the environment in which people were living because of his presence. And despite his being well blessed with wealth, Zacchaeus decided, I have got to search for this man. How on earth, Zacchaeus, a rich person, striving. He could have said, rich people, the way they behave, or well-endowed people in the society. He just makes his presence known. If he says, excuse me, you look back, oh, you move. You'll give him way, isn't it? That's what we normally do. So it was possible for Zacchaeus just to announce his presence. Those who owed tax will pave way, hoping that he will excuse them. And those who always pay tax, they will shake his hand and say, oh, welcome. And they will usher him in front. But that was not so. There was a struggle inside his heart that I must see this man, no matter what. I want to have an encounter with him. But that he was doing of his own volition. He was climbing the tree, expecting this to give him the advantage that he wanted to have. And I want just to remind all of us today, we may look at this as a Friday school story, but it is very much related to our own lives as Christians. Now, I have said the subject of our discussion this morning is about walking closer, having a closer walk with him. So in essence, Zacchaeus wanted to move closer to Jesus, to understand who this man was. And I know this is the cry of most of us in our lives. We desire deep within to have an understanding of who Christ is and what he can do for us. some of us have got an understanding that once Jesus comes into our lives, there will be some change, but we really don't understand how to engage him. And so this was the position of Zacchaeus, so he decided to take on the tree. That was his own effort, trying to reach out to Jesus. His personal effort, trying to reach out to Jesus. Many people have had that kind of experience of trying out to see that they reach out and get in touch with God, have a closer relationship with God. It has always been frustrating. I'm sure Zacchaeus wouldn't have wished to see his son walk by under the tree and say, "Daddy, what are you doing up there?" He wouldn't have liked, but he had to endure because there was a need inside his life. And so I would like us to look at Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Just understand what is really happening. Verse 6, it says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are a filthy rag, But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." This is the position that all of us find ourselves in. The Bible has pronounced so. But we try to look for other means of making ourselves have a closer relationship with God. It doesn't work always. It doesn't work well always. But does that mean that it will not work? God is also sensitive and aware of the desire in our hearts to have this closer walk with him. And so it's walking by and coming our way. The good thing with Zacchaeus, he was very keen and positioned himself. He looked for a place to position himself so that by chance, if Christ is passing by, he should not pass by him. Right? While thou art, the song says, "While thou calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. While calling, do not pass me by." That was the cry in the heart of Zacchaeus, but it was a silent cry. Instead, it manifested itself in him climbing. That is seeking your own way of reaching out to God. I know each one of us finds ourselves once in a while in that situation. We would like to have that closer walk with God, a closer relationship with God. And sometimes we are questioning ourselves, how can I do this? So we resort to many things. We resort to many other things. Some of us would like to justify our attempts in the way, in the form of self-righteousness. And in Luke 18, we see another scenario that was a bit strange. Luke 18, 9. "And he spoke a parable unto which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others." Here is a group of people who looked at themselves and felt they were okay. They were fine. But Jesus Christ was talking to them and he was addressing them that this is not true. That's not the way to reach out to God. So our own righteousness, our religious disposition, the way we look at ourselves in our religious way, does not meet the standards of God at all. Then there's the third aspect where some of us base our closeness with God in terms of our Christian discipline, based on our own effort. It's good to have Christian discipline based on God's own spontaneous working within us. But there is another aspect in which some of us position ourselves. We observe so many things that are Christian-like, But then it's just religion, actually. We are doing it because we fear what men will say about us. We are doing it because we fear what pastor is going to say about us. I don't know if I were to say, how many of us came here thinking that maybe pastor will ask them why they did not show up? Did you understand me? Okay, as a teacher, I will say, in other words, I'm borrowing other words to explain myself again. Is there any one of us, I know you're not going to raise up your hand, but is there any one of us who, because of the fear of what people will say, home cell members, or they thought probably Pastor Abraham is around, so if he doesn't see me, I wouldn't have something to answer, so let me go to church. I know you can't raise up your hand. But that sometimes we do things not because it's self-driven. It's because of what people will say around us. So we end up participating in our Christian, having to do things that are Christian-like just because we want to be fit in the group of Christians. This is the kind of thing that Zacchaeus was depicting by climbing up there. Everybody's going where Jesus is. What will they say if I don't also go there? Maybe I'll be confirming to them my sins even more, because people knew him as a corrupt person. So if he doesn't go where holy people are, he will be confirming his position. So he had to go where Jesus Christ was. And I'm sure some of us probably end up doing things in life, not because of out of conviction, but because we feel we need to fit in a certain pattern of in a certain pattern in which things are done. So that is a position that we need to be careful of. In the present context, some of us will engage in ministry, work of the ministry in the church, not really out of conviction, but because we want to be seen to be part of the group that is going there. Others today will be involved in very many activities. You'll find yourself in the choir, find yourself in the Friday school, find yourself in every ushering team and every other ministry in the church. Not out of conviction, but because you want to fit in the bigger group. I want to tell you, there is a chance for you to really have a proper relationship with God. It is not the activities that you involve yourself with that really matter in these cases. There are others also who will devote so much time in personal devotions, not because you really are out of conviction, but because this is what has been said, I need to be, to have some personal devotion. So you end up doing it. Why am I doing this? Am I just attacking you? No, because I was there also, praise the Lord. So I'm sharing with you so that you must understand there is a point that we have to reach where we have a personal relationship with God that is meaningful to us, that is enjoyable in our lives, praise the Lord. Because if we don't do that, our Christianity, we will reach a burnout somewhere because we are pushing things by our own effort. But that's not the intention of God. God wants us to enjoy every aspect of our relationship with him. Praise the Lord. And that group that will end up supporting the work of God, and it's painful to them, they're stressing themselves, but they still go on. So I want us to look also at Luke. I think that's the slide that is there. Luke 10:41. There is these two sisters. And we see them taking two different positions in terms of relating with Jesus Christ. So Luke 10:41. We'll start from 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister, that's Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all preparations that had to be made. This is very typical of most of the ladies, mothers. Somebody comes in the house and they're all over because they don't want the guests to leave the house feeling like they have not had anything. That was the nature of Martha. And she went about doing all that she could to make the Lord Jesus Christ comfortable. And so she came to him and asked, she observed the sister Mary and she said, ah, this Mary is lazy. She's pretending to be listening to Jesus, but she's just avoiding work in the kitchen. Maybe the onions were too harsh for her eyes. Praise the Lord. And so she comes to Jesus and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. That's what I was talking about. The moment you are pushing yourself to do many things, you are likely to have this spirit of Martha, complaining about other people. If it is God that is working inside you, it is always enjoyable. You always enjoy whatever you are doing in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. But that is born out of close relationship with God. You cannot enjoy this work if that relationship is not cemented well. If you have not allowed God to take full control of your life so that he draws you closer to him. Mary was there listening to the word. All of us would have wondered why Mary is not helping, but the Lord said she had chosen the best thing. In fact, the reaction of the Lord in 41 says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But a few things are needed. Only a few. Say a few things. Tell your friend, I just need to do a few things. Praise the Lord. Only a few things are needed. And indeed, only one. Can you hear that? The first says few, then it says, actually, it's only one that is required. Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. What did Mary choose? Mary chose to be close to Jesus. Praise the Lord. She wanted to spend that time with the Lord. Yes, food was important. And I'm sure some of you are already thinking of the next place you're going to have your lunch. Be careful, if I see you entering a cafe somewhere, I may join you and greet you at the table. How are you? Yes. Food is good, but it's for the stomach. And both will be destroyed. Praise the Lord. I hope you've read something like that somewhere. Food is good for the stomach, but both will be. Kenneth will not destroy them. What the Bible is saying, there's better food somewhere. That food, you can only get it when you are close to Jesus. He will always impart in you that which is eternal, that which will edify your soul, that which will leave you more peaceful. And that is what we need to seek for. Mary went for that. She was sitting close at the feet of Jesus. And that's what the Lord said. Mary has chosen a good thing. Praise the Lord. The second part, Luke 19, 5, 6. So in short, what we have said in the first part, there is that self-drive. Somebody's pushing himself to fit in the body of Christ, to fit in the activities of God. We are saying, that is not the way to go. Praise the Lord. Rather, wait, because the Bible says in verse 5 to 6, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Praise the Lord. That reminds us of Revelation 3:20, isn't it? I stand at the door of your heart and if any man, say, I am the man. If any man opens his heart, I'll come in and dine with him. So Zacchaeus was asked by Christ. He would have jumped and said, you know, Lord, I've been waiting for you. But that was not going to help him. It required that God himself reach out for him. Praise the Lord. And Jesus invited him down. But there was something that Zacchaeus also did. When he came down, he realized this is my opportunity. He said, I have opened my house to you. Come in. Praise the Lord. I have opened my heart for you. Come in. So as much as God wants to have a good relationship with you, there will be a point where you must also make a decision to allow him to come in. Praise the Lord. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. That was the action that Zacchaeus took on his part. So, four things we pick out. Jesus took the initiative to invite Zacchaeus. Today, I know you are born again. And if you are not born again, the invitation is also there for you. And to those that are born again, Christ is inviting you once again, that I want to have a relation, a personal, an intimate relationship with you. Are you willing for me to come in, into your heart, into your life? You know, we have relationship with God, I know that. But there is an intimate relationship that God wants to have with you. And that is what I'm inviting you to join me, so that we go together and have this relationship with God. It was Jesus who called Zacchaeus. We have shared that, Revelation 3:20. The same offer is on the table for you. And number two, then Zacchaeus extended a welcome to Jesus. He allowed his heart to be open. I would like you also to understand that Zacchaeus took a step of inviting Christ into his house. He did not just shake his hand and say, oh, I had wanted to see you, and that's all, you know. I've seen people see stars, football stars, and they're crying that they just want the man to sign a T-shirt. And then I ask myself, after you're signed, so what? The same thing will get worn out. Yeah. So it was possible for Zacchaeus to shake the hand of Christ and say, I'm not going to wash my hand for the next 1 week. Because I've shaken the hand of the Lord. But that was not the essence. God wants to have a dwelling place in us. Praise the Lord. He wants to come and have a dwelling place deep inside us. So the encounter, the one-time encounter that Zacchaeus had with Jesus was not enough. Zacchaeus wanted a daily encounter with the Lord. So he invited him, come into my house. Did Jesus hesitate? He said, no. Did he say, no, I'll come another day? I'm too busy? No, he said, I'll always create a chance for that person who comes out seeking for me. I've always 1 minute, 2 minutes for that person who seeks to have a relationship with me. So we establish one thing, that we need to seek for encounters with Jesus that are eternal, lifelong encounters with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Luke 19:7-10. Luke 19:7-10. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be with the guest, to be the guest of a sinner. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. I'm sure some of you are business people. In our midst, are wishing that Zacchaeus had swindled you so that he pays you 4 times. And especially if he had swindled you just a day before he met Christ. That would be a huge profit, eh? After 24 hours, you are getting 4 times what you lost the previous day. But the message here is one. Zacchaeus does not want to reflect over his past. He wants to clear himself. He wants the Lord to clear all that and have residence in his life. These things remind you. You know, sometimes I usually ask people, if you are so corrupt and you get a lot of money, The first thing is, oh, I want a very good house. I want a beautiful house. I want a beautiful car. But you see, that's a very heavy weight that you are putting around your neck. Because every day you walk into the house, it reminds you stole this money. It is a physical evidence of your corrupt practices. You go to the bed, that bed reminds you, you stole the money that you used to buy me. I'm sure Zacchaeus did not want to have that. He said, let all these things go. The peace that this man is giving me in my heart is better than anything else that I have had. I have sought for this peace. I have sought for this joy. I've sought for this relationship. I've never encountered such a relationship, just having him. Not these things, but having Christ in my life. Having to walk with him. I want to challenge all of us this afternoon. There is a place you can walk with the Lord. There is a relationship you can have with the Lord. And the peace that you have in your life surpasses every other thing that goes on around you. The worries and anxiety that grips people in life will disappear. Not that there's no problem. I want you to understand this. I'm not saying that once you become a Christian, you'll never have a problem. The problems will be there. But one good thing that I want to tell you, there is a man, Jesus Christ, when his peace comes inside, you look at that problem and it doesn't trouble you. Not that it's not there, it is there, but he takes charge. He gives you the peace that is required to overcome. Praise the Lord. So that is why I'm encouraging each one of you today. Let us seek to have a closer walk with the Lord so that our relationship with him will transform our lives and shift our destiny from what we are experiencing now. Praise the Lord. Zacchaeus had confessed, I want to give out all this. On verse 9, he says, today, Jesus said to him, today, because of the decision you have made, that you don't want any other thing, you want to have a relationship with me. Because of that relationship, because of that decision, today, salvation has come to your house. Praise the Lord. And there shall be salvation in your heart today. Praise the Lord. So four things again. Zacchaeus has led Jesus into his house or heart. Zacchaeus, out of deep conviction, was ready to lose all. And I just want to say something here. It's pleasing, it's very good to see people undergo baptism. And I want to encourage all of us to take that step. But I don't want you to take a step that does not, it's not based on conviction in your heart. Salvation comes first, praise the Lord. And baptism confirms what is there. It's not the reverse, praise the Lord. It's not the reverse. Don't rush into baptism before your inner man is changed. You will go in a dry sinner, you'll emerge a wet sinner out of that water. Praise the Lord. But when salvation has taken effect, then you go in as a born-again Christian, come out with a new body. Praise the Lord. The old nature is gone. Praise the Lord. Just felt like making that known to you. I know that many of us want to undergo baptism, but it's important for us to understand. Let us have a relationship with God that transforms us, that out of that conviction, we go and confirm. When Christ is going for baptism, John says, it's not right for me to baptize him because he's already right. But he says, suffer it to be so that all righteousness be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. That issue of conviction, I was just emphasizing on deep conviction in your heart. For change to take place in the spiritual realm, there must be a shift in the inner person. There must be a change in the inner person. Then there's a transformative change that is taking place. Three, Zacchaeus in committing to restitution, surrendered. The act of giving out all those things was an act of surrender to God. I have done wrong. I don't want to be part of it anymore. Praise the Lord. And we cannot walk with the Lord, we cannot have a closer walk with God if our hearts are not surrendered to Him. If we don't surrender our hearts to Him. It's good we have heard there is a session that is going to be there on the Holy Spirit. He would like you to surrender to Him. The battle we are going to have is the battle of wanting to run your affairs and at the same time the Holy Spirit to be in you. It will not work. Praise the Lord. Learn to surrender to Him. Then He will take charge of our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 5. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 5. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Verse 2. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around outside to the outer gate, facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. I want you to underline that. Water was trickling. When the man brought him, he was walking with him. Initially, the water was trickling. Tick, 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 tick. And the man told him, let us walk further. Verse 3. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. Hallelujah. He's now walking. He's walking. He's walking closer to God. And what is happening? The water is increasing. And the rivers of living water shall flow out of you. Verse 4. He measured off another 1,000 cubits. That means they're walking deeper into the things of God. Deeper and deeper. And what happens? The water that was knee-deep, now it has increased. It is difficult to swim in water that is reaching the ankle, isn't it? Your stomach will be propelling you instead. It's only reptiles that walk like that. Praise the Lord. Knee-deep water, you may try to swim, but it's not comfortable because your hand may end up touching the base. Remember now he has covered, is it 3,000 or 2,000 feet walking with this man. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. Something is happening here. The deeper they walk with this man, the water is becoming more. It's now becoming comfortable. He can swim in this water. Praise the Lord. Can swim in this water now. At least the waist is okay. You can manage. Of course, the person who is telling you to swim is not a very good expert in swimming. Praise the Lord. Yes, he struggles, eh? But he knows when water is more, people enjoy swimming. But I have coached somebody who knows how to swim. Are you getting me? Normal swimming, not this one. I coached somebody who knows how to swim, but I'm not very good in swimming. I can walk in water very well. Praise the Lord. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. Can you say to swim in? The more you walk with God, the more He gives you that freedom now to operate in the spiritual realm. If you walk a shorter distance with Him, you'll find yourself struggling because you can't swim. The water is just knee deep. You allow Him to walk with you further, the water rises, it becomes a little bit easier. The more you walk and walk deeper and deeper and deeper with Him, because you have allowed Him to take charge of your life, He brings you to a level where the water is deep enough and you are able to swim comfortably. Praise the Lord. That's how the spiritual realm works. A closer walk with God gives you the freedom to operate freely in the spiritual realm. That is what the church is preparing you for. That in that time, when God begins, we allow the Spirit of God to begin to operate in us, we will find that it's easier for us to sail on. It's easier for us to pray. It's easier for us to operate in this army. Praise the Lord. Quickly, I'll summarize a few characters in the Bible that you need to look and reflect over their lives and the decision they made to walk with God and the results. Abraham was called from among his people to a new land. Genesis 12:1. You must allow yourself to be isolated in order to benefit from this walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Allow God to isolate you. Sometimes we value our friends too much until we lock out God. In fact, some of us would like to cancel some things, our prayer, because of our friends. Enoch walked with God and was found no more. Genesis 5:23. Is it? This man, Enoch, not much is said about him, but reflect over his life. What kind of relationship was he having with God that made him just to disappear with God? The closeness with which he was walking with God must have been on another level. How that we may desire to have that similar walk. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, Elijah is brought into a cave, is in a cave. And there are many things that are happening, earthquake, tremors. But he did not recognize the voice of God in all those sounds. Why? Because he had walked with God, he was able to recognize the voice of God. Not the loudness, not the how spectacular it was, but how the closeness he was with God was able to hear that still, smooth voice speak to him. Praise the Lord. Can you be closer to God in these coming days that you may recognize his voice? Elijah, in order to walk with God, he had to abandon all. 1 Kings 19:19. There will be a demand, just like Zacchaeus, to abandon certain things in our lives, so that our walk with God may be established. The book of Daniel, Daniel 1:8, Daniel had to take a risk, You know, telling the king, if the king says, I want these people to be fed on this food, and then you tell, no, I don't want what the king has said, and yet you are a slave, is a risk. He can order you to be killed. But because this man had a close relationship with God, he said, I would better take this risk than abandon what I've trusted in. Because my relationship with God means more than anything else in my life. Praise the Lord. As we stand up, I would like us just to reflect over that. In case you have never made this decision to be with the Lord, I'm sure you'll be given an opportunity for you to make that decision and have this relationship with God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's rise up. Let's reflect on what the Lord has been speaking through His Son. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. Allow the Spirit of God to search your heart. Let us allow the Spirit of God to search our hearts. Are we or am I willing to walk farther with God? Or am I satisfied where I am? Or have I, like Zacchaeus, tried to reach God with my own efforts and each time found myself failing? It was not the altitude change that God wanted, but God wanted an attitude change. Today, am I willing to change my attitude? Am I wanting to control God, or am I allowing God to control me? Am I willing to isolate myself like Abraham? Am I willing to disappear with God like Enoch? Am I able to recognize the presence of God? Or am I still groping in the dark? Am I willing to forsake all to follow Him, that I may walk with Him? Am I willing to risk, like Daniel, willing to risk everything to take up the cross? Am I willing to walk as a disciple closer with Him? Or am I satisfied to be a spectator? Zacchaeus was not satisfied to be a spectator. He had a desire. Today, if the Holy Spirit is kindling a desire in you, why don't you cry out to God and say, Lord, I desire a closer walk. I want to walk farther. I don't want to stop where I have begun. I don't want to stop ad hoc. I don't want to stop where I have come to. No, I want to walk farther so that I may experience that deeper walk with You. That I may desire Your presence, just as we sang, Your presence is like heaven to me. Lord, I want to experience that in new dimensions from henceforth. So Lord, I lay myself down. Lord, I surrender myself to You today. Lord, You have called me to a closer walk. I surrender myself to You once again. I lay myself down on the altar once again. Help me, O Lord God. Help me to find the strength that comes from Your Spirit. Not from my own will, not from my own disciplines, not from my own efforts. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by Your Spirit, O Lord God. So Lord, Spirit of God, take over once again today. Take over once again today. Let me be led by You. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again. For You are God, the Good Shepherd, who leads us in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. And we are the ones who are called by Your name, O Lord of hosts. So Lord, even as we have surrendered afresh unto You, lead us again, O Lord God. You are God who does not abandon us. You are God who has never forsaken us. Lead us into that closer walk with you in the name of Jesus. That we may, O Lord God, hear your voice, know your voice, recognize your voice, and obey your voice. Help us to be such sheep of your flock in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your Son that you have used, O Lord God, to show us your will and your mind concerning our walk with you. Father, I pray that you will bless his walk. You will cause his walk to shine all the more in the name of Jesus. And his family shall be benefactors of it in the name of Jesus. His flock shall be benefactors of it. His workplace shall have benefactors from it in the name of Jesus. Blessed Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We bless your holy name. Thank you for the strength that has come through your word today. Help us to profit from it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. And let's all share the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Go in the strength of the Lord.